Welcome to Me Time, the podcast for women in midlife who've been taking care of everyone else and now say, it's my turn to take care of me. I'm Kim Aceto, health and self-care coach for women in midlife and your host. Thank you for spending your precious me time with me right now. Enjoy the show. Okay, so today I have with me Renee Lenoble, and we have a great topic. We're going to be talking about money and how there's never enough of many things, as we'll kind of get into, and how we feel like that as women. But today we're going to be talking about money when it comes to that. Let me share a little bit about Renee. So Renee Lenoble became an accountant and shocked her family and friends by doing so, as throughout high school and university, she staunchly maintained that accounting was boring. She continued to believe this while getting her accounting designation, but figured she'd made enough money to support herself and make up for work boredom in her non-work hours. She switched jobs 3 times, public accounting, financial analyst, mom, which was the hardest, before realizing that she no longer wanted to spend the majority of her life doing something she didn't believe in. Yes, she hit midlife and started her own business to help people manage their own finances, which is never boring. Since making the shift to a purpose-driven life, she has never looked back and wants to help other people manage their money in a way that supports their unique values and strengths. Renee, thank you so much for coming on the Me Time Midlife Podcast.
Thank you, Kim. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great that we met, and you know, we shared a lot of similarities between health and finances and kind of best practices and the values that go into how we manage both of those things. So I'm excited to talk with you today, specifically about this kind of theme that we women have where there's never enough. And we'll be talking about how that is with money today. But before we start, I want to ask you, since this is the Me Time Midlife Podcast, what are some things that you enjoy doing during your me time?
So that question, whenever I get asked, I immediately go to the societal answer and go, who has me time? Right. But I have made it a point to carve out that me time for myself because I've realized it's essential. So what I do is I like to get outside. I go for hikes. I live in the lower mainland, I guess the west coast of the northwest of the US and the southwest of Canada. So there's lots of places to hike, and I like to get on my bike. And I also like to hang out with like-minded women. Get together and talk about how we're going to support ourselves and our lives moving forward.
Right. Yeah. So you're outdoorsy. And I remember you asking me if I like to run, and I was like, no. But now that I live in Canada, I'm trying to be a little more outdoorsy and, you know, getting out there, even though the weather is, you know, kind of drizzly, but I'm enjoying it. And I see a lot of people out there, and yeah, so that's great. Yeah. And getting together with other women. Absolutely. That's so essential to, not only our emotional well-being, but just how we feel about ourselves and all that. So yeah, that's wonderful.
It's all connected.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things
to say. Liking running. So I do belong to a free fitness movement called November Project, and they help me run a little bit during the week. So
oh, great. Yeah. And that's early in the morning, right? It's like 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's great. What a great habit. Okay. So we're going to talk about how there's never enough when it comes to money. So let's just start with this idea of there never being enough, because I hear this too in my own practice. So how does this never enough idea manifest itself in the day-to-day life of a woman, Renee? What has been your experience?
Well, so did I mention when you asked me about me time is that I have to carve that time out for myself? So one thing I've noticed is that this is a very common theme with women. I have this game that I play. It's called Beat the Clock, where I try to get as much as I can possibly get done during the day. I've played this game enough times to realize that I always lose. Whenever I play that game, I'm always burnt out the next day. It takes me a long time to recover. So what I've noticed is, like, why do we play this game? And I think as women, we are in competition to prove that we are the most helpful, productive, efficient, good woman out there. So we've been trained that way as girls and as women. We've been trained to be caregivers and to put ourselves out there more and more. So Never Enough kind of combines with our training to sort of keep us in that loop of always trying to do more and to get more. And this also combines with not having enough money to be able to sustain that life.
Right. Yeah. And I say this a lot too in my practice with my clients and community, how we watch women in our lives as we're little girls, and we just tend to adopt these same mindsets. We see how our moms handle or take care of their finances in this case, you know, or not having any control over that, right?
Yeah.
And that we kind of adopt maybe those similar mindsets is what you're kind of saying.
Yes, we're always putting other people first generally, is what I have noticed. We put our kids first, we put our partners first, we put our bosses first. We're always trying to prove that we are enough. And what often happens is that we're so busy being everything for everyone else is that we forget about ourselves and we don't actually take the time to figure out what is enough. Yes. And so that's this never enough. It kind of keeps us not actually ever figuring that out, which and usually the thing that doesn't get addressed are things like your own personal finances, your own physical fitness, your own health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this concept of never having enough, always kind of feeling deficient, causes you to never really ask those questions like, okay, well, what can I do about it? It's like kind of a hopelessness.
Prophecy, right?
Right.
It's never enough. And you get caught up in this loop where you're always trying to get enough that you never actually have the time to figure out what enough is.
Mm.
And you don't sit down and say, what is enough? And you're so busy looking after other people, fulfilling a role, that you don't have time to take care of yourself, your personal finances, your personal health. Yes.
Right. So while you keep moving and you keep working and you still feel like you're behind.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Right.
This overriding fear.
Right.
You don't have enough. You don't check in. You're too busy moving.
Mm-hmm.
Playing beat the clock.
And it is hard to look in, right? But at this time of life and midlife is really a time where you kind of have to start looking at your finances, because this is the time too when a lot of women are thinking about retirement and they're thinking about how much money do I need to retire? I know my clients are thinking about those types of things. How many more years do I have to work? How much money do I need in order to live the retired life I want to live, which is maybe traveling or, I don't know, purchasing another property or downsizing or whatever, you know, just living. Especially we as women, which is wonderful, we're healthier than ever. We're living longer than ever. So we need more money, right? Than ever after we retire.
Yes. And so that's the irony in a way, is that women start to think about it, but they immediately start to go, I don't really have time to look at this. And so then they're being overruled by a fear-based thought, right? Like, I should really look at this, but I don't have time, but I need to know. It's like this vicious loop, right? Where, and then they start thinking things like, oh, it's too late now for me to look at this. I'm starting to get too old. I'm just gonna, you know, close my eyes and ride it out. I've made it this far. It's gonna work out, right?
Yeah.
In the meantime, there's this thought going on in the back of their minds. There's not enough. There's not enough. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to achieve what I want. How do I even get started? Yeah,
it's interesting you brought up this, it's too late for me, because I hear that a lot too when it comes to health. You know, like, Kim, it's too late for me. My best years are over, my 20s, where I could eat whatever I wanted and I could only sleep a couple hours a night and I looked great. But now it's it's too late. So why even try? Why even begin? Why even put in the effort? So do you hear the same thing? It's too late for me when it comes to finances, when we're talking about women. And, you know, is that the same kind of thing that you hear? And if so, tell us.
I hear it all the time. People think, oh, I've run out of time to save for my retirement. Basically it's a very similar idea. And I have to say, it's never too late. You can choose to live a different way at any point. And the choice I think that you're making is choosing to live without the fears that are driving you forward. What I often see, I think they call it midlife, right? Because you've been going along following society's rules for so long. So you've been using fear to motivate yourself, right? You've been using the not enough fear as a big one to move yourself forward. So you got to get a better job. You got to, you know, find a better partner. You got to do all these things. And those motivate you for a very long time. And then I think what really happens at midlife is you kind of burn out. And that's what happened with me. You realize that everything you've been doing doesn't necessarily tie with what you believe in. And those fears aren't enough to motivate yourself to move forward anymore. So when people say not enough time, it's just not true. Because if you notice, people can have incredible burdens and struggles thrown at them, but they still make it through. Women are incredibly resilient, so they always find a way. I found a way despite thinking that I had nothing left at my midlife. I found a way, and I realized it was at that point that it was my thoughts that were adding that extra burden. I could find a way through, and the best way to find a way through was to start.
Right. The best thing to do when you're feeling discouraged is to get into action. I found the same thing is to feel like, instead of sulking and complaining and whining about what you don't have, right? What's not enough, then to actually, you know, that's because that's hard too. I mean, yeah, it's hard to look at your finances and to start to move forward in those things, but it's also hard to not do those things. Just like in your health, it's hard to start exercising. It's hard to start eating healthier and going to bed earlier and those types of things. But man, is it harder to not over time, right? Because at some point you're going to have to face it, whether it's your health or your finances or whatever, you're going to have to face it. And there's this one quote I really like. I think it's a Chinese proverb or something. I think about it every day, actually, which is, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time is today. Right. And you know, when it comes to health and similarly finances, the best chance of you having the best results are going to be the earlier you start. And the earliest you can start is today, because you're not going to be any younger, right? There's no earlier time that you can start.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I think women they tend to beat themselves up. Well, a lot of people do. And so they are beating themselves for not having started sooner. But the amazing thing about starting today is that you are at a place where you know so much more about yourself. And instead of looking at it as, oh, I'm late to the game, right? And then beating yourself up some more for not having, you know, realized you should have done this, you know, 20 years ago, and say, you know what? This is the point that I got to. Now I know so much more about myself. This is the perfect time to start for me. So it's all the way you look at it. And I will admit, I felt like when I was starting over again, that it was too late to start over again. You know, I had built my career as an accountant and I thought, okay, I just have to keep doing what I was doing because it is too late to retrain. It is too late. I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. But I don't know what happened. I decided I just couldn't. Well, actually, I do know what happened. I couldn't throw myself into the work that I was doing before. And so I had to figure out another way to move forward. And it was starting. I will say I needed a different kind of support when I started again. And you mentioned that it's hard, right? It's hard to look at where you're at. It's a difficult thing. And I think a lot of people, that's what stops them, right? You start looking at your current physical fitness. You start looking at your personal finances, and people are like, they tend to beat themselves up and then they stop because it's too painful. So what can you do to help yourself with that starting process to support yourself. So it's not a painful thing to do. And I'll tell you what I did. I hired a coach. At the time, I had no money. I used to wake up every morning crying because I felt destitute. But somehow I managed to find the money to pay for that coach for 6 months. And she got me through that really painful process of building my self-awareness about, you know, my life and where I had gotten to. And she helped me realize that all was not lost, right? And propelled me on my way. So I'm just throwing that out there. If you are at that point where you're feeling stuck around your personal finances, what can you do to get yourself going? Because that really is the first step. And it is sort of the biggest one, right? I'll just say it. The people that I help, they have to come and want the help to look at their personal finances. If you're not going to be able to do that, then you'll probably continue to be stuck. I'm sure you see it too, Kim, with the people that come to you to help with building their physical health.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this is a whole other topic we could cover another time is how we as women have a hard time asking for help, right? Mm-hmm. We feel like, oh, well, we should be able to do this all by myself. You know, I should be able to get my finances in order all by myself. I should be able to get my health in order all by myself. But we have to move past this, like you're talking about. I too, several years ago, scraped together enough money to get a coach to help me as well. So if you really see the benefit in something, if you really need the help, we have to ask for help and we have to get better at doing that. I mean, and we can start with little things like, can you help me wash these dishes, right? Or can you take mom to the doctor today or something like that? And then we can get into larger things. But yes, definitely we have to be able to ask for help. So now what is enough? How does a woman figure out then when it comes to finances, what is enough?
So despite being an accountant, I had to do this work myself. I thought I had been the perfect little saver all my life, but I still found myself in financial crisis. So to figure out what is enough, and I used to call this work navel gazing. Okay.
Navel gazing. What does that mean?
Navel gazing. But now I realize that, you know, that's another thing that I was doing to make myself feel bad about work that is essential. The way you figure out what is enough, I really recommend doing is doing a detailed analysis of where you spend your money. So you learn a lot about yourself this way. And this is painful work. This is why I said you need support as you're doing it. And you need to be kind to yourself. If you can't afford a coach, then, you know, start looking around for at self-help books and things where you learn to be kind to yourself, right? Because when you look at your spending, it can be painful. Where have you been spending your money? Have you been spending too much? Like these are the thoughts that come in when you start looking at it. Oh my goodness, I've been spending way too much money on clothes. How could I do that? Or, oh, look, I seem to be going to the liquor store quite a bit. Perhaps I have a bit of a drinking problem. Or another thing that women might find is I have not spent any money on myself for a bazillion years, right? It's all gone to my partner or my children or someone else. And that can also be a bit of a hard thing to realize about yourself, right? So this is what I suggest doing. We are all, probably most of us use credit cards or debit cards these days. If you do use credit cards or debit cards, there are easy ways to download the past 6 months of transaction history. I don't know if you're not spreadsheet savvy or computer savvy, you can just print out your statements and take a highlighter and highlight different colors, each category where you spent your money, groceries, clothes, fun, donations, anything, and then just categorize everything and take a look at where you spend your money. It's very illuminating. So that's the first step. Sometimes you can see, you know, what do I like more? Where do I end up spending my money? And have a look. So that's the first step. And that builds huge self-awareness. It makes you start thinking about, you know, where do I want to spend my money as you're doing it? The next thing is you start seeing, am I overspending? Am I spending more than I'm bringing in? And that's the next very illuminating thing. These are all very simple things. I think that's the thing. Like women think they can do everything themselves. And you can do this, right? This is something that you can do. But the other thing is that women often who haven't been involved in the overall, like looking at the big financial picture for their household, they often are overwhelmed because they think it's scary. Although women are in charge of the spending in the household, they often haven't been in charge of what's the overall big picture. They're sort of left in the dark, I will say. And so they think they can't do it, but they can. These two things I said so far, they sound pretty, do they sound like something that you could do, Kim, or?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I always see things through the filter of health, but so yeah, I mean, oftentimes I get a client because she was walking down the street and caught a glimpse of herself in the reflection of a store window or something and said, hey, wait, what happened to me? You know, and we just never know when we're going to have that wake up call and realize, okay, it's time to take a look at, you're talking about with money, where am I spending? You know, what am I eating? How am I spending my time? Because these are all things that we're spending, you know? So yeah, absolutely. And I love how you brought up too, Renee, when I look at my statement of what I've spent is how much is on myself. And you can say, okay, well, I bought another pair of shoes or I bought another whatever, but investments in yourself, like a book, you know, $15 book is an investment in yourself. Of course, a coach, right, is an investment in yourself, but also a massage is an investment in yourself, a vacation. And I love your blog. Also, I want to highlight your blog because you, well, maybe because we align so much in the things that we talk about and how it's important. You don't tell women to not spend money. You tell them to spend money wisely, but also to invest in yourself, right? To spend money on yourself. It's okay. It's good. We need to do those types of things.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It's all about figuring out where you are right now, right? So as you say, as you walk by the mirror, oh, where am I? right. It is hard. Like it's a hard thing to look at, and it's hard to look at money. Like it's not an easy thing. But it gives you so much information, right? When I was thinking about this, I'm like, pretend you're a scientist. Can you do that? Can you sort of take the emotions out of it and say, you know, let's look at where I spend my money and, you know, what are the things that I spend more on? What are the patterns that are typical of myself? And once you know that, it makes things easier. Then you can start putting a plan together, right? So Kim, as you know, people come into you and they're at a certain level of health and physical fitness, you have to know that in order to say, okay, how are we going to build a plan forward for you? So you need to know your starting point. So gathering all that information, that is part of it. The other thing you need to know is, you know, how much money you currently have. So you have to check your spending, but you also have to see where you're at in terms of financial health. How much money do you have in the bank? How much debt do you owe? That, again, that's a pretty straightforward thing to do. Again, it can be painful. So you have to figure out a way to be able to do that. Maybe you need to get someone to help you. Right. It's not hard, but you might need some extra support.
Yeah. And again, you know, going back to, you're going to have to look at this at some point. Might as well be sooner. Sooner is always easier than later, right?
Yes. Usually when I see people looking at this is when they have hit crisis, because they, which is unfortunate. I always wish people could come to me when they're more happy, but they don't. They usually come to me because I do help people that are navigating their separation and divorce. And so this is when they come to me. They're already feeling pretty wretched about their life. So it does make it harder. And I just think, oh, wouldn't it be great if you knew some of the stuff about yourself before? So the sooner you can start, the better. Once you know that, where you're at now, then you need to think about, where do I want to be in the future? And so having done the look at your spending, sometimes that can help because you can start to notice trends about yourself. I seem to like to be outside. You know, when I go on vacation, this is what I tend to do. Or I spend money on a lot of courses to make myself get smarter. Or I like to have fun. Like you can start to figure out, like maybe self-improvement, nah, I'm done with that, right? I just want to relax and have fun. So start looking to see where you spend your money the most, because that'll give you an indication of where you're going to want to be in the future. So once you know what you want your future to look like, and that's a bit of work too. It takes a little bit of planning. You can figure out how much money you'll need in the future. Then the next step is just saying, okay, so how do I get from where I'm at now, which we've already figured out, to where I need to be in the future? And you can choose solutions that are going to get you there. Instead of just being in reaction mode, which most of us are in these days, which may or may not get you to where you want to be in the future. You might land up there by good reaction, but you might not. Meanwhile, you have that constant fear going on in the back of your mind for your life, as opposed to, here's what I know about myself. Here's where I want to be. This is how I'm going to get there. It'll cut out so much pain and suffering from your life.
Right. And having a plan, right? Mm-hmm. At least knowing the next steps and knowing where you want to be is important instead of just ignoring it. Mm-hmm. And again, I can't say this enough, but just like your health, if you ignore it, you ignore your health, or you ignore your finances, it's going to come back at some point. You have to face it at some point, and it's going to only be harder the later you face it.
Yes, yeah. Because usually when you have to face it,
right?
Because it usually comes with some kind of horrible something.
Yeah.
That's making you face it.
Right.
Like loss of a job, breakdown of a partnership, or an illness. Those are the things that make you face it.
So how do you give your clients hope then, Renee, if, you know, when they start to look at their finances and things are not good, or they just went through a divorce, you know, it was an ugly divorce. How do you give your clients hope?
Well, it requires looking at the world a bit differently than what we've been trained at, because you probably have an idea that divorce is a negative thing. And instead of thinking of it that way, I try to encourage people to see it as a transition. You've gotten to a point where this life was working, but now you want something different. Both people usually do, right? And so it's actually, I don't really think of divorce as a bad thing. I see it as a transition where you get to now plan the life you want. I mean, divorce is incredibly hard because it is a huge change on all levels. For most people, right? It usually means change of living circumstances, change of roles, change of family, change in finances. So I'm not underestimating it and saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can choose to try and see it as a good thing and say, okay, you know what? This has got me to the point where now I do have to look at my life, and I'm going to choose to look at my life and figure out what it is I absolutely need. And now I can plan for that. Up until this point, I was living in reaction mode and I wasn't very happy because look where I got to. And so now I can figure out what it is I need for myself. I am divorced. I am grateful for it now because it helped me change my perspective about how I was going to live my life going forward. I am much happier than I was pre-divorce because I feel like now I know what I want. I can incorporate the things into my life that I know are going to keep me moving forward. So I usually help people get hope by explaining that, my story, explaining how if you know yourself and you know what drives yourself, you're able to make the life you want.
Yes.
You know your circumstances, you know yourself, you cobble things together to make it work. And people, like I said before, are incredibly resilient. Now you have more information to make your life better.
I absolutely agree. I like to say that when women hit midlife, they've earned three gifts: wisdom, experience, and maturity. And yeah, you're older, you've lived more life, yes, but it has come with a benefit as well. Unlike when you were in your 20s, maybe you didn't make very good decisions for yourself, but now you have an opportunity to transition. Like you said, I like how you say that divorce is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a transition. It's now an opportunity to ask yourself, what do I want? What do I want my life to look like? How do I want to spend my money? I really love that you said it that way. Okay, Renee, well, I'm going to put your information in the show notes, your website, and I highly recommend that listeners read your blog. It's really good. You have so many different topics in there, and they're all tied into money and how we feel about ourselves when it comes to money. And I really love that. I'll put that in the show notes. But last question, is there anything else that we didn't cover when it comes to, you know, this mindset that we generally have in it? And it's not like it's necessarily never going to go away, but if we are more aware of like, okay, I'm getting back into that mindset of there's not enough and there's never going to be enough. Is there anything else that you want to share with us in as far as that we didn't cover?
That's funny. I really like this question. Have we done enough in this podcast?
Right. There you go. Well, yeah.
But
we haven't covered everything,
really useful question because it comes up again and again, and that's the fear. Have we done enough? So I think being aware that thought is out there that is motivating us and go, okay, you know what? I have done enough and I'm going to continue to take it day by day and add things as they're needed. So I'm getting more awareness, I'm figuring things out, you know, and as you get that more information or wisdom, I like how you called it wisdom, that's a much nicer word, you can incorporate it in your life and things will just get better.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much, Renee, for coming on the Me Time podcast and for sharing that with us. And I'd love to have you back because, again, you talk about so many different topics. We only talked about one today, but there's so many other things that we can cover when it comes to our finances and saving and how to spend and those types of things. So love to have you back if you are willing to come back with us.
So. Yes, I had a great time. I love talking. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. If you find the Me Time Midlife podcast valuable, there are many ways you can support it and support yourself while doing it. You can review it on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to listen to it. You can tell your friends about it or share it on social media. And if you want more Me Time in your life, consider becoming a member of the Me Time Midlife community. This is my online community of like-minded and like-hearted women in midlife who want to take charge of their life by cultivating their health, happiness, and purpose while building connections and friendships along the way. There are many benefits to joining, including monthly member-only Q&As with some of the experts you hear on the podcast. Plus, as a listener of the podcast, you get a special listener discount. Go to metimemidlifepodcast.com to learn more. Again, thank you for listening. And until next time, remember, you've been taking care of everyone else. It's your turn to take care of you.